All right, Ray joining us here. Ray Farrar, we missed out on Ray. He was supposed to be on at 5. He's got things on the go, so we moved them back, and he's... I guess we're lucky enough to have Ray join us now on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. This isn't house-related, is it?
No. I was at a CBC seminar today. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but Chris Cuthbert and I are doing the Olympics. And so we were getting our first overload of information today.
So you're like calling games for CBC, like the gold medal game and all that kind of stuff?
We are doing the entire tournament, start to finish, Chris and I.
Every game?
Yeah, so...
That's yep. A joke.
There is a... Why is it a joke?
Well, I mean, how do you even... Like, isn't there a bunch of games going on at the same time? You can't do every game. Isn't there another crew?
No, all the men's games are consecutive. They're all in one rink.
Dude.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. This is this will make the World Junior Tournament workload seem like a walk in the park. This is a lot of games.
So let me get this straight. You're going to be calling the World Juniors in Buffalo.
Yes.
Then you're going to South Korea to call the Olympics.
Yes.
And I'm assuming you're going overseas to the World Championships.
Yeah, April. I have three fabulous tournaments to do this year. This is going to be a good year.
Stop it. You're going to be so miserable by the end. You're going to be miserable.
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
I don't
have
to travel anywhere. I just, like, that's one flight.
Well, I guess you're right. Once you're there, that is different. You don't have to fly from Columbus to Dallas to Toronto to Vancouver, but...
I mean, it's not like these studio guys, like, oh, they get their shorts in a knot when they got to walk from... You know, Studio 6 if the catering's too far down the hall.
Well, he's going to Buffalo for the World Juniors, and he's
all
furious.
All the way.
Yeah. All the way from Toronto to Buffalo, and he's not happy.
Hey, by the
it.
Way, did you think at all, though, when you were watching the game yesterday from Buffalo, that we got an outdoor game there on the 29th?
Oh, my God. I was actually thinking about that. Like, where am I going to be situated? Like, I hope Bob and Duthie get the panel, like, I don't want to be outdoors at all.
Like, it's an outdoor game. It'll be tough to be indoors, won't it?
Yeah, I know. I get it. But where are you going to be? Are you going to be like ringside? Like,
no. We got. I guess we're up in a booth. Which
yeah.
Is
well, why
nice.
Can't I be in a booth too?
You could be in a minivan in the parking lot. What if they threw to O in a minivan in the parking lot?
Bill's Mafia. It's like a tailgate.
I want to get Bobby Mack to pick me up and throw me on a table and break a table before the game.
Oh, I think we're on to a pregame segment here.
Yeah.
Except it's somebody. The Quizmaster. You guys can...
I'll throw the Quizmaster against the table and crush the table.
Actually, you might do that anyway, just for no other reason.
Yeah, someone comes up to you. Hey, we didn't have the camera ready. Yeah. What camera? I wasn't exactly. A bit. I just literally picked him up and threw him through a table. I don't think it would be possible to play a hockey game in the conditions the Bills and Colts played yesterday.
No.
Were they ever going to cancel that game? Like, or does it, like, does football, other than lightning, do they ever stop?
Never. They're not canceling that game.
It went to overtime. That's the best part. Like, they played extra time.
When those 10 guys were trying to clear the snow for Vinatieri, they looked like a bunch of kids at the schoolyard.
I thought it was awesome.
Ray, how about him making that kick? It started 45 yards right.
Yeah.
He hit a couple of curveballs, didn't he?
And then he missed the chip shot to win it.
Yeah, that was...
Did you guys see the thing? He's got a $500,000 bonus.
I know, to get to 95 point... He's got to get to 90%, and he's at, like, 88.
But he was at 94 when he started yesterday.
Wow. Gutless. That is gutless.
It is gutless.
And then you got a kick in that? Like, good luck. He's lucky he hit the ball.
Well, his first kick, I believe, in the first half, like, I'm watching it. There's no way the refs even knew where that was. Like, they're sitting there, they're like, I don't know, was it good? It could have been in the stands, and they wouldn't have known. Those conditions, I found it captivating and very enthralling. Like, I was very entertained, even though the X's and O's, the meat and potatoes of the game was brutal. It was just run, 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 punt. But I couldn't stop watching simply because of the elements. And from that perspective, even though you guys might be outside and have to deal with it, I wouldn't mind seeing an outdoor game
right
like that. That Pittsburgh Sabres game, the first outdoor game, was in Buffalo, I believe, and it was the same conditions.
That was almost, I think that's almost the problem that the NHL ran into with the outdoor games is the first one was just about perfect. You know, there was just enough snow. The weather, you know, became a bit of a challenge, but not too much. And then the game ended the way it did. It was, you know, I don't know, that one was just about perfect. But look at outside here. Would they be playing in this? I mean, we did when we were kids, but I don't know if they'd... I think they'd have to cancel it.
I don't know.
I think you'd have to.
Like, has the outdoor games run its course? Like, they had 6-1 year.
Last year, I think it was they had 6.
Yeah, but not in the local markets it hasn't. I mean, no. I think as a national event it has.
Yeah.
But, like, the game in L.A., when L.A. and Anaheim played, like, they put 40,000 people in the building. And so it plays there. It doesn't really necessarily matter, I don't think, if it plays anywhere else.
Well, did you go to the one in Vancouver at the...
That was the worst.
It was the worst one.
Comedy.
I just saw it on TV.
Is that the one Bobby Lou didn't start?
Yeah, it's Eddie Lack started and Bobby Lou torched didn't start him.
You know what they did to make it look like it was an outdoor game? It's because, of course, it's in BC Place. The roof was closed because they were worried about rain. They had cotton all over the field to make it look like snow. It was ridiculous.
I remember that. Like, it was
amateur.
It was like, I've been a part of an outdoor game with Calgary where it was the Heritage Classic, and it was neat. We played Montreal. It was minus 20, whatever, 6 or 8. It was ridiculous how cold it was. And it was kind of neat, you said, for the market. But the game wasn't that good. The actual hockey isn't amazing hockey. I'm trying to think back. Like, last year on the first, the Leafs won 5-4, wasn't it?
But that turned into a fun game because of the third period. The first two periods were brutal.
You were there, weren't you?
I was there.
And it was awful. Like,
the first two periods were horrible.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. Neither team did. It was almost like they agreed, like, let's try to get to overtime and each get a point, not hit anybody.
Right.
And then the third, like, Martin fought off. There were 8 goals combined or whatever it was.
Yeah, they were up 4-2, right?
And well, that's the question I have, Ray. So if that's the case, these guys are all complaining about the outdoor games. Why do the World Juniors want to have one for the biggest matchup of the tournament? Why do they want it to be an outdoor game?
Revenue.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's 40,000 people, I guess that would be it, right? Like, it's the same reason that the NHL, like, the players will play these things as long as it puts more revenue into the, you know, in the 50-50 split with the owners. So they're in for this all the time, even if they don't really want to play the games. And I can't imagine anybody wants to play multiple games. Like, who wants to go out there and play in the snow and get rattled around when it's, you know, Noodle said the game was minus 26 or whatever. Like, who wants to get hit in that?
Nobody.
No, I'm with you on that. With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So the Leafs are 20-10-1, third fastest in team history for 20 wins. Only took them 31 games. Only twice in 100 years have they got to 20 faster than that. It wasn't the prettiest of victories over the weekend, but a sweep is a sweep at Pittsburgh. I don't think you make any excuses. And last night, McElhinney made 41 stops, stood on his head. But how good are the Leafs? I mean, the standings say they're a top 4 or 5 team in the league. I mean, what are they to you at 20-10-1?
Well, I think there gets to be a certain point where your record really tells you what you are. You know, 10 games in, it's a little bit of a different story. You can have people that are teams that kind of, you know, they get off to a hot streak and they're up at the top of the league, but you know they're going to settle back in. I don't see teams that are way better than Toronto that are in that top 5. I mean, St. Louis is a hell of a team. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, with the injuries they've had, what they've done is just amazing. Tampa is great. They're, you know, they've been as good as anybody. Winnipeg is really good. Toronto, like, why aren't they there? I would consider them a top half dozen team for sure.
Well,
Even when it doesn't look good. I mean, we don't watch the other teams as closely as we watch the Leafs. So I'm sure Tampa's won a few games where they haven't been great, but they just win anyway. And Toronto's had games like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Last night, you know, good example.
Well, they had 2 this last week. Other than that, they've been, I mean, because Was it against Calgary where Anderson was ridiculous?
Yeah. Anderson was unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, Ray, what do you think about that whole narrative where they can't keep giving up these shots? People talk about it, whether it's the analytics crowd or just hockey fans. Can they keep it up where everyone's saying, when you go into a slump, you're giving up way too many shots and you're winning games you probably shouldn't win, and then it starts going south, and then when you're coming out of it, you're like, you should win some games that you don't win, but then you get out of it. What do you make of the shots against and the way they're playing defense?
Well, I think the next level of what we'll see with analytics, it'll become public that teams use a lot, is the quality of shots, just not the number of them. Like, we use it just number publicly, basically, because that's, you know, there's no way to sit there and break down quality of shot for each game of each team of each shot. So you can give up 35 shots and think of the goalie after and go, man, he made two good saves out of 35 shots because they were all from the outside. It wasn't a big deal. Like last night, if that was the way the games always were, I think I'd be a little more concerned in that. What did Edmonton hit? Four posts?
Yeah, they had a bunch.
I mean, there were some quality looks that they got lucky on. The shot McDavid hit the goalpost on, I don't know if McElhinney could have looked more awkward when he was fishing around for his stick and he was on his hands and knees and then all of a sudden, cling, it hits it again. I don't necessarily think they defend poorly. I don't think there's any question they would like to add another defenseman. Like, I don't know how they couldn't want to add another one. Just for example, you know, like, I know Connor McDavid is special, and he was incredible last night.
Wasn't that amazing, watching him play last night?
It was like a junior player playing against a peewee. Like, when he had the puck, when he got out into the open ice, like, who was going to catch him? He went around Ron Hainsey last night. When the one where McElhinney poke checked him, I couldn't believe how fast he got by him. Like, it's astounding. He was so far the most impactful player on the ice last night. And yet they couldn't get anything to go. But I think Toronto would like to, I think they will explore and would like to add another defenseman before March rolls around. And I think that would just be good business, but you know, I don't know. I every time I think their defense isn't good enough, I think of, well, Pittsburgh won the Cup last year, and their best defenseman was in the playoffs was Hainsey and Dumoulin. Like, they didn't have Letang; it was a nondescript group. And so I'm like, well, why can't Toronto be that? I think they can.
Well, I mean, as for McDavid, we were talking about this earlier, where Edmonton, and we've been saying this for weeks, they're well beyond moral victories. You can't have moral victories when you're into mid-December and you're 12-16-2. But they spanked the Habs on Saturday, and they were the better team last night. But I come away from that game, and I've watched them closer than most teams because of McDavid, because they're Canadian, because of the connection with Toronto, because both teams were so bad for so long. And I just wonder, like, is McDavid so good where you almost throw shade on the rest of the team because you're like, wow, you got to pull your weight here, where it's impossible for them to pull their weight because he's so good.
Dominates every game.
Like, last night was such a dominating performance. Or is it he is so good and the rest just isn't that good? Like, they've got, obviously, Draisaitl's good, Nugent Hopkins. I mean, they've got good players. But is it the McDavid show, and if you shut him down, the rest of the team just isn't that good? Or is it that he's so good that the other players are still good, but obviously you're focused on the superstar because of how he plays?
Well, at the start of the year when we were talking about, and a lot of people were talking about, but in particular us, we're talking whether Edmonton or Toronto, which team would you want? And, like, my own opinion was I felt there were holes in their forwards, never mind the defense, that they didn't have enough wingers. And I think that you can see that's part of the problems that they have. You know, they've got these three centermen. When McDavid or when Draisaitl's not playing on the wing, he's playing in the middle. They've got 1-2-3 of McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent, Hopkins, and then you know they got Puljujarvi, who's just getting going. You got Lucic, who is he's okay. Maroon's had a career high last year, was ineffective has been mostly ineffective this year. They traded Eberle for Ryan Strome. They got Drake Cajula. I mean, like, their wings are just not anywhere near up to par with the middle of the ice. I think it's the latter one that you mentioned, Brian. They're not as good as the way things went last year. They were outstanding this weekend, but man, they're in pretty bad shape here. And I was impressed. I was impressed to heck with them last night. I thought they were really good.
Well, you mentioned the whole weekend and Saturday night. We haven't talked about Carey Price, but all of a sudden his last three games, like, what happened to the Carey that came back the first five? Like, his numbers are brutal. He got pulled on Saturday.
Yeah, but they lost one in overtime.
No, I know, but his numbers are what they are.
He's come back?
No, the last three games.
Oh, the last three games.
His last three games, he's been brutal.
Like, I know he's really calm, and, you know, Noodles, maybe you can speak about this, but the one goal he gave up, he stopped the puck behind the net.
Yeah, it was way too casual.
Oh, my gosh, he looked like he was playing, like, Sunday morning hockey. And I wonder where that comes from, because they've shown time and again they don't really have a chance unless he's really good.
Yeah, that was the Kara goal. He picked it out of the air.
And then he just, like, kind of meandered his way back to the net. Like, he had, I don't know what he was doing, but they had a really nice run there, and now they've given a lot of it back.
Yeah. Well, they got to get going. Like, it's the truth. And Price got rinsed the other night. Edmonton was really good. Price wasn't that sharp. And listen, it's not getting easier. Like, as the season goes on, it's going to get harder. It's going to get tighter. It's going to get tougher to score. Defense is going to be at a premium. So, you know, I don't know if he's at a dip in his play. He certainly wasn't very good the other night. The game before, the overtime game, I thought he was pretty good. I watched that game.
We might be micro-analyzing here, clearly, but it's because he's Price and he's had such a weird year.
And you expect it, exactly. And the problem is you expect it every night. Just like
well,
we expect
the other thing is they can't win without it.
Right.
So it makes it even more critical for them.
Oh, it screams at you. If he's playing poor, like, three games, his numbers have dropped, and they've lost all three. You know, one was an OT, like you said, but still. And the thing that they have going for them is they're in the right division.
They're in the Atlantic.
Yeah, like Ottawa looks like they're just, I don't know what happened there. Like, maybe that Sweden trip just spun them right off this continent, and they've never returned home. But
it's quite a trip to Sweden if that was...
Something happened, because, you know, Buffalo's done. I don't think Florida's good enough. Detroit's never been good enough. If Ottawa's done, you know, the Habs can look at it and say, you know, four teams behind us, we don't really have to worry about them. Like, which one of those teams are going to make a run?
Well, Ray, like, if you're Ottawa in Edmonton, aren't you looking at this, like, if you just go to the overall section in the standings, you're not recovering from that, are you? Like, you're not.
How does Ottawa do it?
No.
Like, how would they?
Or Edmonton.
And now... You know, with this, you know, the news that came out this weekend that the general manager, Pierre Dorion, has gone to the players and asked them that have no move clauses or partial new moves clauses to submit their list. Like,
is that a PR stunt?
Well, I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you, that's got to be real fun times in there this week, doesn't it? Don't worry about it, guys. Go ahead and play. Oh, by the way, give me which lists you don't want to be traded to, because I'm looking to trade anyone that makes sense for us right now. I mean, maybe that's the way you got to do it, and that news gets out, but that they're in Buffalo tomorrow. If they lose tomorrow, like, do they make a coaching move? Do they make a deal? Like, they can't. Whatever they got going is not anywhere near good enough. They got smoked in San Jose at the end of that trip.
Yeah. I was telling the boys, I'm driving down to Buffalo tomorrow, so it should be
have fun.
The roads, you never know.
Just a barn burner on a Tuesday night.
Bottom bowl right now.
The worst two teams in the conference.
What do they say? Good seats still available.
Well, you never know.
Well,
and I think Florida, I think Florida's in trouble with Luongo out. I saw James Reimer do four snow angels in 5 minutes on the ice the other night. And I text somebody I know, and the response I got, it was...
Lethal.
I text the goalie coach, and not in Florida, obviously, and said, "Are you watching this?" I said, "Yeah." And they ended up winning that game, but, you know, James is he's a good two. He's not a number one, and they got to rely on him.
Who plays a more boxy style of goal, James Reimer or Curtis McElhinney?
Curtis is more, to me, Curtis is more efficient. I think he tracks the puck.
Who cares what style they play? McElhinney stopped the puck, and I don't think Reimer is right now. End of story. There's your goalie analysis.
Wow. I love that because, man, they both end up, when you're facing the backboards and the puck's in the slot, I often think that's probably not the best way to go about it.
No. He was flopping around a few times last night, but
the scarecrow.
41 stops at 41 stops. He had himself an evening. Anyway. All right, buddy. This was fun in the 6 p.m. hour.
I like it. It was kind of different. I like it. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, we're feeling
it. Sure. Right? Who do we talk to? Let's get it done.
No,
I'm in.
It won't happen.
You in?
Okay.
Hang on, Ray. Are you in?
I'm sure. It doesn't matter to me.
Ryan?
Well, you can't because you're calling games.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
So you'll be in the door.
No, that's
fly,
all right.
Buddy.
I'll be finished dinner by then.
Yeah. Just go to the bench in between during the first period. Call us.
All right. We'll make an adjustment every once in a while.
I think we should do this. Do you think Tyler can handle this or no?
God, no.
Yeah, that's a good point. He doesn't have a chance, does he?
That hour difference would just overwhelm him.
All right, buddy.
We gotta
have a good night, boys. We'll talk to you from Philly tomorrow.
And there's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial for fast approvals and competitive payment plans and options on heavy equipment from any dealer. Visit valiantfinancial.ca. Leafs in Philly tomorrow taking on the Flyers. I think 8 of their next 9 are on the road.
They've Leafies?
Got, yeah, their yeah, one home got... game is a 2 o'clock game on a Tuesday against Carolina. So it's a tough schedule, but they don't have the most difficult teams. They got Philly, obviously. They're in Minnesota. They go through Arizona, Colorado, Vegas to close it out on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so there's some winnable games.
You can win some of these games.
Yep.
And they've banked a lot of points where if they take a bit of a step back, I don't think people are going to freak out. But there's no need to.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep rolling, keep rolling. Keep the good times rolling in Toronto.